Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahunt. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you all. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. What a blessing to be with you. It is the 9th of October, 2014. And tonight on Ask Dr. Ava, we have so much for you. Now, of course, as our announcer, Brother Bobby Muhammad, stated, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, where an unlimited number of persons can log in. You can also call us 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091, and join in this conversation, which promises to be very exciting tonight. And of course, as always, Elevated Places is a high-level discussion centered around freedom, justice, and equality for the black man and woman in America and for people around the world. October the 16th, 2014, is the 19th anniversary of the Million Man March and Holy Day of Atonement. On Sunday, October 19th, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will deliver the keynote address live in Kingston, Jamaica. And we will hear more on that later tonight. And, of course, we're going to be hearing shortly from our man, not about town, but around the globe, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And, of course, in the news yet again, and I hate to sound like a bad news bear, but what else can we say? It's going to continue to happen. We are in a war. We are being killed. So yet another black male, 18 years old, gunned down by police outside of St. Louis, Missouri. I think it was just 3 miles from Ferguson. And so call us to talk about that and your perspective on that. We need to start moving out on the only intelligent response to what is happening to us. And that response, that solution, can be found always on the back page of the Final Call newspaper, The Muslim Program. Eric Holder, his statement yesterday, we're going to talk about that, and you will see why I will say later, I told you so, regarding his resignation. And Ebola is out to get us.
Yes.
It's dead. Seriously? What did I say in Durham? Okay. Are you surprised that Brother Duncan is dead? Why or why not are you surprised? And the continuing and escalating security crisis surrounding the first black president. Tonight we're going to have books and films. Now, we're living in the age of the fullness of time, and nothing manifest the thinking of a people more than their culture. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and I quote, "Culture is the outgrowth of the thinking of a people in a particular period in history." So how are black people thinking, and how are white people thinking? And is it the same? I beg your pardon. Now, our Elevated Places panel has at least two struggling authors on it, and one is myself. But I was blessed to publish last month with the help of a team of younger Muslims, a book that's especially for the black woman today, and it's entitled Naturally Beautiful and It Ain't About Lipstick. Okay. That book includes the small and highly popular booklet, Queen of the Planet Earth. The other struggling author and is our contributor and analyst, student minister of agriculture, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And he is graciously allowing us tonight to get a quick sneak peek into his soon-to-be-published behemoth. It is entitled Commonomics 2, The Sheep, Sheepdog, and Evil Shepherd. Subtitle, The Secret Biblical Cipher Behind Jewish Financial Dominance. I know you want to know what that is about. Okay, if we have any intellectual curiosity, and Elevated Places family, we are all intellectually curious. And so this book, and I must say I've had the honor of being allowed to peruse the unpublished manuscript. It is amazing. And we also have a special guest tonight, and we know that all of our guests are actually family members, and all, like you, who listen and call, they all bring something valuable and different to the table. Now, this evening, we're going to hear from student minister Alan X, who in 2012 published a work, and he calls it a literary work, I call it explosive, 250-page book, and I never heard of it until I went to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, earlier this year, and then I was back in Raleigh and Durham last weekend, which was just amazing. But Brother Allen's book is called Mathematical Theology and the Physics of God. That's one of two books he has out, but we're just going to try to handle this one. The second one is you're going to be like, oh, my God, okay? So Brother Alan X will be joining us shortly. But first we want to hear from our brother who just recently spent 2 weeks in Washington, D.C. He also managed to, that's why I think Dr. Salam's got something, because somehow he managed to materialize in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I was this weekend, and had everything to do with me and my family having a fabulous time. And we also, along with some of the believers in the Durham area, including student minister Aman Muhammad and his beautiful family, we attended a film, box office smash, entitled Gone Girl. What an insight into somebody's mind. So tonight, our in-house movie film analyst, Brother Terrence, is going to open up that aspect of the discussion and give us his take on Hollywood's latest release, which is really deep. Tyler Perry was in the film. And last week, during its opening weekend, the number one film in the nation was The Equalizer, with the greatest actor of our time. That's me talking. And that's not an opinion. That's an assertion. He is the greatest actor of our time, Denzel Washington. And I want you to know that one of our great, great scientists on the Elevated Places team, who has been here from the beginning and will remain one of the founders of Elevated Places, but she has really given of her time in ways you just can't comprehend. And she's going to, after tonight, relinquish her post on the switchboard because she has so much going on. And you know how we have a lot of believers who have made an impact not only with us, but out in what we call the world. We have brothers and sisters who are highly respected by many outside of our circle. You know, sometimes we get in that bubble mind and we think we're the center of the universe, and there's a whole lot going on out there. And we have scientists who are gaining knowledge and expertise that is absolutely essential to nation building. And one of those people is the fabulous, our IT specialist, the fabulous, phenomenal Sister LaDonna Muhammad. And she is just an amazing black woman. So she can only do so much. And after tonight, she's not going to be with us on Thursday, but she'll be helping us as Elevated Places moves on to bigger and better things. We're going to keep growing. And this is, and I promised her, Dr. Ridgey, dinner, that the team would take her to dinner the next time we come together. And
okay.
We'll probably have Brother Terrence take care of that, you know, because he just walks in places and waves his hand. And I saw it this weekend. But I'm not going to take up any more time. I'm going to turn the microphone over to the one and only Terrence Muhammad.
Well, once again, we're honored and thankful to be alive, and we're thankful to be here on Ask Dr. Ava. You know, of course, as you said, the Ebola scare is in the air, and I know our brother, Reverend Jesse Jackson, was with the family, and there are some articles out now that say that the family believes that they didn't get the proper care. And as we know, that black people are dying, white people are surviving, and even the cure supposedly is not working on black skin, which is a wonderful, I guess, convenient way to kill us off. Before I go any further, I just do want to say, for those that don't know or didn't know, we just celebrated one of the greatest landmark dates that the world has ever known, and that is the birthday of the Messiah, the Christ. We know him as the Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on this past Tuesday, a man who is in power and alive. We are honored to be a part of that family and that nation that he has built. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as we celebrated his birth on this past Tuesday. And as Dr. Ava said, next Thursday, Jamaica, the great island of Jamaica, the home of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's father, we, the delegation of the Nation of Islam, will be showing the islands that are now in a great conversation of reparations. We know that no enemy of ours can repair the damage that they have done to us, but we know that God can, and God set up the Nation of Islam, and we will be returning to our island with our brothers and sisters to show them what real repair looks like by the grace of these teachings taught to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. For those that are not able to go to Jamaica on October the 19th, as Sister Ava said, you can watch it on NOI.org. The question of the President's Secret Service is still in the air, and we're still having that discussion. And as Dr. Ava also said, make sure that you get her book, Naturally Beautiful. And also, our Student National Secretary has a new book in the volume of the book, speaking of Moses, and we know who the real Moses is. So there's a lot of books coming out, and there's a lot more writing that you will hear about. I just wanted, at this time, as people can go to FergusonOctober.com, FergusonOctober.com. Starting tomorrow, there is a big weekend-long activities in Ferguson with a big rally on Saturday. There's a hip-hop and hope lecture given by Cornel West. There's a major concert planned for Sunday. Some of the local artists and national artists will be there to do a hip-hop concert for Ferguson. There's going to be civil disobedience on Monday, patterned after my state of North Carolina, the Moral Mondays that was done. They're going to do a Moral Monday on this coming Monday. and civil disobedience will be done. They was in training today on how to do nonviolent civil disobedience. And then last night, young people was taken to the streets until about 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's video out there on social media that's showing that the young people were not afraid of the cops. And the visual that you will see is the young people yelling at the cops, cussing at the cops, saying these are our streets, and you saw the police backing away, literally grabbing one another and backing away until they got into their vehicles and started to drive away. And the young people were still yelling and hitting on the police cars. Now, that seemed like a victory for us to last night, but it makes me wonder what is coming in this weekend and what's going to happen. We also want to give a shout-out to the Hip Hop Caucus. There was a town hall call on Ferguson last night, but the people we wanted to recognize was a sister named Cheyenne and an artist named Tef Pope. These are people that are on the ground, and there's a lot of young people that are in their 20s that are really organizing young people right now. And some of them said that they had never been organizers before, and they didn't really know how to be organized in the beginning, but they're now hands united, hands up united, are an organized group of young people in Ferguson that are working things out to make sure that what the issues that are going on in Ferguson will be continuing to be shared. And our sister Cheyenne wanted people to know how you can help is to make sure that we keep this on the radar, keep this in the radar, keep this in the news, because people are trying to let Ferguson die down, like Trayvon died down, like Bring the Girls Home, Bring Our Girls Home have died down, and then we won't be talking or speaking about it again. And our brother, Brother Abdul, will be speaking this Sunday from Mas Maryam, talking about stop the killing, because we know in all of our cities across the country there is too much killing going on amongst ourselves as well as the police force. And at this time, Dr. Ava, I just have to take a few more minutes of personal privilege and a liberty to just say I grew up in the South. I grew up in the church, and there was a part of the church service in the morning called testimony time. You know, this is a time where you can testify. So I have to testify that because I am a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I have traveled, as you say, this nation. I have gone across this nation. I have gone to cities and states that I would have never gone to on my own, but because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was there, I took the trip. I took the trip to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I went to L.A. I've gone to Memphis. I've gone to Chicago. I've gone to most of the cities that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has gone to. And going into Jamaica, I hadn't planned on going. But this past Friday, I said, well, I can go, I will go. My boss is I work at a Farrakhan-friendly job, and I can go to Jamaica, but I didn't have a passport, so Ava. And at the last minute, I went and talked to a friend, friendships in all walks of life. She connected me with a brother, and I went to his office. And on Monday, I sent off for my passport, on Monday. And on Wednesday, I don't have company. I don't have nobody coming by. My door was banged on early in the morning, and I went to the door, and someone gave me an envelope, and I was upset because I thought people were sending me back my paperwork. I thought the post office had sent back the wrong stuff, and I was going to the post office to make sure they send it off, and I reached in the envelope, and my passport was there. And I say that because the testimony I want to say is that when you are with the man of God, things will work out. There is no doubt that when Allah wants you to be where he needs you to be, he will make those provisions. Now, I don't know about you, a two-day passport turnaround when everybody are suffering and having passport problems and glitches in passports, and I get mine in 2 days with a help of a congressional expedite, you can't go to your local congressman and get a letter that will help speed up the process. But the point is that we're going to Jamaica to help the man of God show how we are being repaired with these teachings. So I apologize for the time, but I just had to make that testimony because I'm happy to be going to Jamaica with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well, Brother Terrence, that was great, but just repeat also, because others can do that as well, check with your congressperson, right?
Right. Yeah, you can definitely go to your local congressman. Yeah, you can definitely go to your local congressperson and go to their office, and they can write you out a letter of expedition. And they can also call the local post office and set up an appointment for you, so you can go in with the letter and they'll mail it off, overnight it, and you can get it right back.
Okay.
It happened for me.
See, Minister Ava, this is why you said he can take care of just about anything. So, you know, people need to learn from Brother Terrence. He know how to take care of some things.
I think she may have stepped away or may have some technical difficulties, but we do want to, as we wait for her to get back on, just to let people know the book that she has is a must.
I'm so
must,
sorry. They're trying to knock me off tonight. Go ahead.
No, we can't have you knocked off. But I
got kicked
know,
off the landline, but I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, we'll just wait for you to come back. I'm just going to just keep letting people know to get that book. And I did forget, we do want to thank the city of Durham, North Carolina, and the Believers. Also in Raleigh, North Carolina, Greenville, that came up in Mosque number 34. It was a wonderful time. And as Sister Ava did mention, the movie that we saw, Gone Girl, it was a glimpse into the mind of our open enemy for me. Because I said the way that movie turned out, the way that movie was, somebody had the mind to write it. And then she let me know that it was a movie based off a book. And I was like, somebody took their time to think of this and put it in a book? Man. And we should know that most movies that we see nowadays are not just movies. They are precursors to something, or there's something that's already happened.
Mm.
People looked at The Matrix as special effects, but we know there was so much teaching in that movie, The Matrix.
That's exactly right. Deceptive intelligence, and that's really one of the things that shows in this film, and that's why I read from the ministers or quoted from his words what culture is.
Mm.
You know, it's the outgrowth of the thinking of a people. So films and books are culture, what we write, what we draw. The buildings that we construct, the way we dress, all of these are manifestations of our state of mind. And so with that, as I said, we're going to discuss my book, Dr. Ridgely's book, Brother Allen's book, and I do want to open up the lines and invite Brother Allen into the conversation. And we already have callers who are expressing a desire to. We have a lot of who listen, but we have many that want to take part in the conversation. And so at this point, I'm going to open his mic, and he's also in North Carolina, in Raleigh, I think, and that is Brother Allen X. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and we're happy to have you with us here this evening on Elevated Places. I was really taken by the content of your book, Mathematical Theology and the Physics of God. And, of course, there is the photo of Master Fadhad Muhammad is on the cover studying, reading. And you refer to your work as literary. And I think the thing that all of us share, those of us writing, and there are more and more followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the guidance and direction of Minister Louis Farrakhan, who are publishing and writing books. That is very important, because in order to bring in a new world, we're going to have a new library. We can only go so far, right, with the enemy's research, with the enemy's perception of reality, dominating and our thoughts, and of course the educational system that shapes and molds the mind of children. I don't want us to keep debating over the origin of moon. when we know what it is. And I want the next generation of children to be taught the narrative we were given as a as an actual fact, as a hard historical fact, irrefutable. One of the things that, you know, robs us of our creative energy is trying to battle Negroes who are just immersed in a white Jesus and Christmas and all of these things. And so this work that our brothers and sisters are starting to produce, and they are spending a lot of time putting in a lot of effort and research. And so we're going to start with you, Brother Allen, because you say on the back of the book, you're looking to dispel religious mythology and mysticism surrounding the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and place these teachings in the paradigm of educational and historical truth by utilizing comprehensive data from diverse fields of study. But tell us a little bit about you first.
Yes.
Like, when did you come in the nation, and where are you from? Just a few things for the listeners.
Yes, Brother Allen,
we're having an audio problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
that's
there you
better.
Go.
All right.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, I was saying I'm a native to North Carolina. I was born in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I grew up and lived all of my life here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I came into the Nation of Islam at the age of 18 when I was a freshman in college at a small school, Barber Scotia College, outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I registered in 2001 in Muhammad Mosque number 36. And I was inspired, been studying the teachings intensively, I would say, for, you know, since that time. I'm now 33, so that's about 14, 15 years. And I've been inspired now to write on it and get out what I feel Allah has put on my heart and in my mind that I think the believers can benefit from, and those on the outside looking in that maybe don't understand exactly what we believe and how what we believe and what we teach is the absolute truth revealed by the Lord of the worlds, undoubtedly.
Well, I love that. I love your motivation, and you open up the book with a section called Divine DNA of the Cosmos. You talk about, you teach on the DNA molecule. And I do want to say, too, that you rely very heavily on, and that's why I'm so comfortable with your book, you rely heavily on the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan. And you also cite other scholars in the Nation of Islam, like Dr. Wesley Muhammad, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, Mother Tynetta, Brother Jibril. And one of my favorite parts of the book is at the end, the email dialogue.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
that is somewhat of a it's somewhat of a debate, and I love it because the brilliant minds of our scientists, but there's a discussion via email between you and Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad, one of our great scientists, that is, and it's on the black woman. That's what I love. So, but you teach in there on mathematics and the numerical system, among other things, like where math comes from, and pulling out from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words, you know, the zero, the one, the six, where these numbers came from. And I think, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, our children would be so much more interested in school.
Right.
If this was the type of subject matter that they were receiving. And so we're going to, you know, go back and forth and in and out. But I just wanted to get out what the subject matter is of these books that we're talking about. Brother Allen, you go into the deportation of Moon And you have a great deal of scientific evidence to support and prove. And, of course, we all know that the enemy is now beginning to collapse in their opposition to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's narratives. And one of the biggest victories for him has been the science behind deportation of Moon, because now you cite heavily, and so do you, Dr. Ridgely, in the Evil Shepherd book, the scientific proof that is coming out now, though they will not credit the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
right.
They'll never say it, but they're starting to concede on
That's
many
right.
points about what you call Brother Allen, I think you said lunar origin,
yes,
meaning where, you know, where, what is the origin of the moon, you know, and again, I just think our children would be so much more connected to education. And then when you couple that with the spiritual dysfunction, you know, behind Dr. Shabazz's decision to split the planet apart. So, Brother Allen, is there anything you just want to, like, what you would say to the listener, just quickly, and then we'll come back, why you would want a listener to get this book, Mathematical Theology and the Physics of God?
Yes, ma'am. I think that, one, we should support all of the writers within our nation that are writing on these subjects, and from a, you know, a very critical, analytical, and academic perspective, proving the teachings. See, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan recently talked about defending him with truth and from the scriptures. He said, "You can't defend me off love alone." He said that you must. He said you must be students and study to intelligently get up and defend me and my position as really the vicar of Christ. So the book, what I did is I picked out, I think, subject areas that are very critical that I think the Nation of Islam have been criticized in the public for teaching mythology, as if there's no science or mathematics backing up the theology or the theogony, which is the self-creation of God from the womb of darkness from Adam, or the deportation of Moon, you know. But the listeners, I still should get the book, and it could benefit because it serves really as a tool for those who homeschool, you know, a good curriculum tool to use, but because it gives definitive proofs for what we call our mathematical theology. And if it's a mathematical theology, then there is a burden of proof that falls on us to provide to people that, you know, are inquisitive about what we are teaching or what we are believing.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
But it's so much in what Brother Allen said. He said we should support. Mm. Now, I would be very clear about what he said. Don't just support any believer that wrote a book, but an academic and scholarly book. And
I say
that because Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam. And the way that Brother Allen is teaching, and here's some critical points that I want to bring up, it is that there was a reason why the minister was taken off of the universities, or a concerted effort to ban him from the universities, because what was produced, Mamma's history started on the campus of North Carolina A&T. And even with Brother Amon was an Aggie in Mosque number 92, but he's a scholar in his defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as a student, you're already in a university setting to be a student to study, and you have to prove whatever cases in your classes. So students were going and getting these teachings and backing these teachings up with the study and learning how to write thesis and write articles and write research papers on this information. So now that the minister is coming back and these teachers are starting to come back, then you will see the stronger defense. And like he said, we can't just do it out of love. Our love should come from our scholarly work. And writing, as we know, infuses in our memory, you know, it makes it stronger. So when you're writing, then you can articulate and intelligently defend the minister. So it's a beautiful thing when Brother Allen and those who write, because now we actually get tools and we get those things that we can utilize. We can go to a certain page. We can go to a certain page,
right,
to prove what he's saying. So I thank those that do this.
Right.
The tape, not the easiest part, as he said, the hardest areas of discussion.
Right. Yes, sir. And along with that, just to bring it into the discussion as well, with Commonomics 2 from Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and you've heard him on this show often speak of the sheepdog, and the evil shepherd, and he's very fixated on making us understand, you know, the apparent enemy vis-a-vis the actual enemy. Just as Minister Farrakhan, our spiritual leader, teacher, and guide, is showing us in the world, there is the ostensible apparent government, but then there is the shadow government, which,
right,
is the one that is actually,
yes,
controlling the people and everything that happens. There's just no coming out of this world and beginning a new world, which we desperately need to, if we don't understand where we are. And you state in your introduction, Dr. Ridgely, that those, there are white people who call themselves Jews. I think that's just right at the beginning.
Right.
You know, as you have said to me and as the minister talked about and the research team, a lot of our people feel that we're ganging up or being excessive
right,
about our focus on the Jews. But what you argue in your work and show with the evidence is fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. And it's real. And it's a powerful tool, as is mathematical theology, for us, for our children, and then our defense of
right,
our ministry and our teaching. But it's irrefutable what you are saying here, that these people control the economy of the world.
That's right. You're breaking
hold
up.
Hold on, Sadev. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Yes, sir.
Well, while she's getting herself unbroken, I'd like to say, first of all, Brother Allen, you know,
yes,
what you're doing here and what I'm trying to do, I look at it, see, Minister Farrakhan has the master grip. He has the key to resurrection. When he speaks to our people, he can resurrect them immediately. And so, but what happens to them once they leave from underneath that type of power and beauty and love, they go back to a world that's hostile to their faith. And they have to defend their faith, you know. So we have to do things to help them to defend their faith when their friends and family members and come and start questioning them to make them doubt in what they just heard and what they believe. So we come with the evidence from the teachings and from this world and from the world that they respect to prove the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad so that they can defend their faith once they're given faith. I see one of our problems is that we have a lack of confidence that we can, in fact, rebuild our community, rebuild the world, that we can, in fact, run things for ourselves. And what I try to do is get the research to develop confidence. So, yes, I go after these Jews because they're the ones who stole our identity. And in my book, I go to when they stole it, why they stole it, how they stole it. And then
yes,
I go to
absolutely.
just to bear witness to the different parts of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like one of my chapters is called, but first of all, the first chapter is called Why Do I Call the Sheepdog and the Evil Shepherd? Then I go into the power of the poison book. And then after that, I go into a new historical paradigm. That's a paradigm of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they compare that to the poison book and then get the information from this world to bear witness to the paradigm that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought to us from Master Farad Muhammad. That's Master Farad Muhammad. Then I go into the stolen identity, who, where, why, and when. Then I get into money and banking. It gives the history of money, the history of banking, and so how these Jews have developed a very slick scheme, how they manipulate the world. Then I get into the persecution of the Jews. Like you said, Minister Ava, people look at us and say, why y'all beating up on these Jews? You know, they've been persecuted. Well, we're going to the history of them, of their persecution. And the question is, are they persecuted because of who they are, or are they persecuted because of what they continue to do? And
right.
I get into that in the book to prove that, in fact, they're not being persecuted because of who they are, being Jews, but because what Jews do, and they do it in every country they go into. So we get into that. Then we get into what really started me to write this book. It's the revealing of the mathematical secret code of the Jewish bankers. They have ripped off the world using a number, and I get into that number and how they use that number. And with that number, I'll predict the next major crash, the crash of the dollar, that Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that would happen, where you have rich people lighting up their cigars with $1,000 bills. This is going to happen soon.
Yes, sir.
And all the pundits say it's going to happen. As a matter of when, not if. They say it will happen. So we get into that. Then we get into tracking the great snake using mathematics. Then we get into evaluating the model that I developed and make sure that it's mathematically sound. That's called how close is close enough. And then we get into Muhammad's economic blueprint, : elimination of usury and speculation.
Yes.
So we want to, because one of the main things I want to do with this book is help people to understand why they should support the Muhammad economic blueprint, why they should support Minister Farrakhan in this effort. So I want to show them how we can set up a different world, and how this world is based on usury and speculation, and how with the economic blueprint and what we intend to do, we can build a heaven on earth and not give up anything except usury, which is interest on debt, and speculation, which is gambling.
Right.
So that's basically, you know, what I have in my books. And like you said, it is expensive.
Right.
It'll be about 400 pages. But hopefully people can get through it. But I had fun doing it, along with suffering a whole lot, because it's a lot of work. But anyway,
yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Praise be
to God. And about a month.
Well, I'm going to jump to the phones. We got Sister Ula, who is – I hope the screen didn't freeze on me. Okay, there it goes. Sister Ula?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Welcome back to Elevated Places.
And I thank you. I thought about what you said at the beginning of the broadcast about the Ebola virus. I call it the Ebola game, like the smallpox, blankets, the Gator Indians, and the typhoid, or the typhoid, whatever they gave them, and the syphilis they injected in the Tuskegee men. It's the same old game.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't hear this in Russia. And you don't hear it in Europe. That's right. You don't hear this in Europe, you know.
No.
And
China.
And thank you. And not only that, they showed a picture of a man, the dad of Ebola, and he was this big, strong-looking black man who had died from it, you know. So it's like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said, this is germ warfare.
And I had
an herbal doctor that I worked with for many years, and one thing he always said was, this was genocide, the destruction of a whole race of people in their germ-filled hospitals. I walked into the hospital in 1978. I snuck in there with the nurses, a head on a white uniform. They thought I was with them. My father was strapped to the bed with the window open in the month of October, on a cold night. I took care of my dad. I got him well. But it was, they were not trying to get him well. They were trying to call my father, kill my father.
That's
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
It's
that's
not
all
in their nature.
Doing. It's not in their nature to get us well, no, ma'am.
No, it's not.
And I just want to share that.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you, Dr. Ridley, for all that good flour and other staple goods. So I'm late.
Well, you're quite welcome. All praise due to Allah.
Well, you
praise
know, again, the time and what must be done as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Brother Ashad, of course, is part of the editorial team. We did an extensive expose on this Ebola crisis, and we played a clip of his interview, again, Dr. Aleem Muhammad. And, you know, it's very clear this is depopulation. You know,
right.
The continent of Africa is the home of the world's richest resources. That's where the gold is. That's where the oil is. That's where the diamonds
right.
are. That's where the best soil is. And one writer whose writings I read from on the show Sunday on WBON, Nobel Prize winner from Princeton, he said clearly, Obama's war is not on Ebola. It is on oil-rich African nations who are doing business with China. That's what this is about.
More.
All of the oil that has been found off the coast of Liberia. Okay? And so here's a poverty-stricken country that, and when we say poverty-stricken, which is how Africa's always presented the continent, it's that way because it's been raped and robbed, like the ghettos
right.
in America. And, you know,
right.
we always talk about it, how white people are like this. It's like you walking down the street and somebody snatches your purse and your wallet and takes all your clothes and then stands and says, "What's wrong with you? You ain't got nothing."
Right. Exactly.
In
right.
fact, you know, you're so raggedy. Let me give you a dollar so you can go somewhere and get some fries from McDonald's after they took all your money. This is what we're looking at globally.
Literally.
So all of a sudden,
right.
like Sister said, and my husband points it out a lot too, why are certain of these problems just confined to the United States and whatever nation it is targeting to rape?
Right.
So now it's Ebola and West Africa and the United States. But why aren't any other countries crying out and screaming about an Ebola epidemic? The man came through Belgium, the brother. He came to the United States. He didn't sneak in. He flew in here. He's got family here. And as Sister said, a young, strapping, healthy, melanin-dominated man. Okay, but he came, he flew in through Belgium. Why isn't Belgium hollering
right.
about Ebola? We just need to think about these things.
Yeah, and why is it when they brought those two white people back, they got well? What was it, a different type of medicine? Or, like you said, it don't work on melanated people? Or what's up with that? And, you know, they're getting, this is my one of the things they're getting ready to do, is they want to quarantine the black community. They want to say that, you know,
absolutely.
People came from Africa and they brought into the black community, and now we've got to quarantine the black community. They're very desperate to attack us openly now, because when you read my book, you'll see why. One of the reasons is they know that there's going to be a financial crash that they're going to cause, and they want to blame it on a race war that they start before that time. So they're
right.
up to no good, and we have to get together and start eating properly, start getting our own health experts to look over the situation, because we cannot depend on the medicine, because once you go in the hospital, most of the time you don't come out. I mean, look at James Brown had a toothache, and he died. So, you know, this system is just waiting on opportunity to take your life.
That's right. We're going to go to Brother Ali. And, of course, Brother Allen, weigh in whenever you see. You got to get in there.
Yes, right.
Weigh in whenever you wish. Brother Ali is calling from 904 area code. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam. It is such an honor to be able to speak to you, because you're one of my sheroes, Sister Ava. I remember a
Thank
statement
you.
That you made, that we would fight the devil over a toothpick of ours. And when I heard you say that, from that point on, you couldn't do any wrong as far as I was concerned. I'm an avid reader, and I believe that it's of critical importance that we understand the necessity to read and to learn and to write our own version of how we see things and where we stand with respect to the time and conditions that we live in and under in this country. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan was told by a Jew that if he did not, those who did not speak well of Jews or did not like them would be written out, so to speak, of history. So it's very, very important that we do that. And what we may want to consider doing is starting a book club with you writers in the nation and take turns with those books, a national book club where we would start with one person's book and take a certain period to go through that, and we could support the authors by buying the book from them. On one, that's one point that I wanted to make. And then the point that I really called in to make is this. I just left St. Louis, and if you wonder why in St. Louis it has been such a sustained insurrection against the action that was taken by a police state of mine, the brothers that I talked to there told me that the young man, Michael Brown, was actually a retaliatory mob-type hit, because the law enforcement officer who was in plain clothes the day before dropped some money in the store and some credit cards. And one of the youngins there grabbed the money, threw the cards away, and spent the money. And they came in to make a statement. And the statement was that they were going to take care of some little nigga back in the hood. They did it right in the area where the young brothers hang out. They killed him and left him in the streets like a mob hit for 6.5 hours. Flies landing on his brain parts, and it was a mob-type hit, and that's why they're still fighting. They're still struggling, and they say they're not going to stop. So I don't know if we knew that, and I looked at the area, and it's a
It's
an area where the traffic moves very rapidly. They move, right, 35 miles an hour. They told me that people don't walk in the streets, and I believe them. So war has been declared against us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a very high bar for the intellectuals. He said that you would implement his program overnight. So as we are dealing with his position, we must also be and work on implementing his program. And an economic blueprint is one of the companions of the three-year economic plan. Because with the form, as Dr. Rickley, in the form of growing things, he should be able to sell it to us and then have someone that's doing packaging and processing. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had such a high bar for you intellectuals that I feel sorry for you. I'm just a high school graduate myself. I mean, he put y'all out there. He said, y'all are going to put this program overnight. Thank you so much, may Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you. That's a fabulous call. And the book club, we're on it. We're on that. Because that's one of the functions of this forum, is to promote ourselves among ourselves. Because purportedly, one of the reasons for the publishing of Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volumes 1 and 2, and now books such as Dr. Rizzi, books such as Brother Allen and others. Sister Audrey just talked about her workbook last week, How to Set Worthy Goals, as we move into this exodus. You know, one thing we're supposed to do is go beyond the theory and emulate the methodology that we're reading about, because it's not simply the methods that are employed, it's the intent and the deviation and misuse of things that oftentimes at their root are correct. As long as you stay in the mind of the Creator, you know, there's nothing wrong, for example, with being wealthy. You know, whoever tells you that is a liar. And I think there's something wrong with people that don't want more out of life. You know, the essence of Allah in us makes us to want a better life. But it's why? Why do you want wealth? Just so you can be greedy and selfish and a freak? Or do you want to experience the attribute of beneficence that belongs to Allah and know what it is like to give without seeking something in return.
Mm.
So we're going to go back.
And I just wanted to throw in the conversation. I want to throw a curveball. And this is to all three of you all that write. So recently on Facebook, I posted the Ebola article from The Final Call. And a white gentleman who used to work in the Department of Health at one of the universities here, we have been knowing each other for probably 8 to almost 10 years. Good guy, good friend, met his family's children. We have been co-workers on some projects dealing with breast cancer for years. No problem. He knew I was in the nation. We had a good conversation. Race, he's gone through undoing racism training. But recently I posted an article and he sent me an inbox. He didn't publicly put it out there, but he said, that Ebola article is pure craziness and monumentally untrue and hate-mongering. And I bring that up. And I bring that up because he's a white guy. If you ask, I will say, yes, that's my friend. And I bring that up because one of the things that all three of you, and I'm honored because I came up with Dr. Ridgely, and I came into your scholarship, Dr. Ava, and listened to how you lay out your lectures. How critical is it, as you mentioned, the secret relationship to blacks and between blacks and Jews, how critical is it our scholarly research of the stuff that we put out? And I'm putting this for you all to talk to those that write books and how we must be very critical in our documentation and the references that you use and the research that we use, because we know that the secret relationships between blacks and Jews, we say if the Jews don't agree with it, then condemn the Jewish scholars and historians that we quoted within the book. How much is, you know, our credibility to what we're writing? Because as he just said, this is hate mongering. We know it's not, but it can be diluted to the masses based off the credibility of the information that we put in our research or our books.
Mm. Brother Allen, you have a thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was going to say yes. As a writer, if you're trying to write truthfully and you're putting truth in your book, then you can't be biased. You're right, your scholarship, it should be unbiased. Meaning, if I want to make a point, I don't only go and find sources and references that's going to back up my point and echo what I'm trying to get across. I also want to find the counter argument to what I'm saying. And then you find a medium between the two. And then we have a supreme truth to filter all of that through, which is the body of supreme wisdom. But I wanted to say on that, the white guy that made that comment, that is his true nature coming out.
Right.
And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it seems like the enemy, the more the minister go, the more they turn up their attack. Because all of these killings of innocent black children are coming really post Time on What Must Be Done lecture series.
Come on.
So the children of Israel, right, it said that God sent fiery serpents. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that is angry white people.
Jeez.
And this is exactly what we are witnessing right now. Now, the Quran says, surely the devil is an open enemy to you. So we're looking at, and our people must wake up, and it is our job to help them wake up to understand who the enemy is, and then also who the divine apostle of God giving warning and who that is that can guide them to safety, which is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the Quran, lastly state, it says, surely there are signs for a people who reflect. So what is this a sign of, these killings? What should that convey? What is that? What's being conveyed to the minds and the hearts of our people? They're saying, we don't like you niggas, and we desire to extinguish all of you from the earth. Ooh. And they're not even covert at all with it. They are letting you know today, I'm your enemy, and I desire death for you and your offspring. So they kill us by biochemically through the foods. They kill us with a warped, false religious paradigm. The educational paradigm is poisonous to the mind of our children coming up in their school system. We are under attack from all angles.
Well, I'd like to bear witness to the brother in terms of him discussing how this white man is showing who he's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
When we talk about the syphilis experiment, you know, when we talk about the making of the white man, you know, the people call us paranoid and crazy and making up stuff just to make us feel better. But then when later on it comes out that the syphilis experiment was real, when it comes out that the DNA research of white doctors at the University of Chicago bears witness to the white germ becoming visible as a species 6,600 years ago, beginning 6,600 years ago to the year that the development or the start of the development of white folks came. Now, when we find that type of information, all of a sudden nobody got nothing to say. When we have to, we can back it up. So, yeah, God came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and told us something nobody knew. And the messenger started speaking it, and they said, well, where you get that from? Now, everything that he taught is being bear witness to by this white man's system. So we don't have time to question our own thinking at this time. What we have to do now is think clearly and then move out on it. You do the best you can to defend what you're saying and bring as much reference, but at some point you got to make a decision on whether you have enough information to move, to make it happen.
Right,
and now
right.
We got to go out and make this thing happen. We can't wait around for any more proof that we need to separate and to build something for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And what this type of work does also, when you know, and the minister insists upon it. When I worked with him with the study guides and some of his iconic messages, such as the Christ Universal Temple Savior's Day message 97. All research, you must cite your source. You must cite your source. You can't. That disciplines you. Okay, and it also humbles you because you learn to give other people credit. You know, we can't be intellectual thieves either. We can't act like knowledge just came when we were born and we know good and well it was here already. It doesn't detract from you one whit. Every time Minister Farrakhan steps on a rostrum, he says, I am a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Every time. I've never heard him give a message and he didn't say that. And it doesn't take from him. It adds to him because it's
absolutely.
What you are doing is not only your external enemy, you're also fighting the enemy within. You are also defending against your own deceptive intelligence that has been shaped by being under a devil for at least the last 500 years, hard aggressive, okay? Because they had 6,000 years, and, you know, they spent four of them crawling around. But, you know, and see, the reason this person, I agree with Brother Allen and Brother Ridgely, absolutely. It's the first thing that came to me. See, now you're striking that nerve because even the most rational among them, at the base, at the core of their genetic makeup is rebellion to God's will. And see, that Ebola expose is so in your face. It pushes back on the lies with fire. And as a result, what it brought out of him was emotion. You know, study guide 18. You know, the emotions surround your system of beliefs to defend them against something different. And see, the reason it got to him is because he knew it was true. And that's why he had to say something, because if it was as crazy as they say, then go on about your business.
Right.
If I walk out here and see a clown juggling balls in the street and running up and down doing cartwheels, so why would that upset me?
Come on. Right.
I go on about my business because I see somebody with a red ball on their nose looking foolish. So if we're foolish... If we're foolish, laugh and go on. You know?
That's right.
It's unbelievable. But I got to get to one of our favorite callers on
Dr.
Elevated
Salaam.
Places, Dr. Salaam. Yes.
All right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. Alaykum salam, old great one.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he got you tonight.
Yeah, I can't say a word. I can't say a word. Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, and Dr. Ava Muhammad, all praises due to Allah, and Brother Allen, who is on fire.
Yes,
praise be to Allah.
And brother, I'm glad you got that passport handle. I own a travel agency website, and I could have had you apply on that website and then made a call to whatever city you were in. But Allah is a great.
Can you get that website, Dr.
Yeah,
Sam,
talk to me now.
Yes. Okay. Do you have your passport?
Oh yes, I got that. It was 2 days.
Oh, okay. Well, my website.
To the listeners in general, you know. Just
okay,
curious.
My website is www. No, forget that. enchantmenttravels.agent.com. Enchantment.
All right.
Okay.
Enchantment Travels.
Use HTTP :// Enchantment Travels, one word, .agentarc.com.
Yes, sir.
And after all that, just text me that information.
Okay, I'll do that because I know how it is when you get up to those elevated places in the air, your brain kind of gets scrambled a little bit. But Dr. Ava, did you just not mention, just now mention 1997?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to take us back to 1997 and the Simpsons. I want you to listen to this and then verify it when you get a chance on the internet. The Simpsons in 1997 predicted the U.S. Ebola outbreak. It was an episode where the lady named Marge offered sick Bart Simpson a children's book, and that book was called Curious George and the Ebola Virus.
Wow.
Now I want you to listen. In this episode called Lisa Sachs, first aired 10th month, 19th day, 1997. And the season episode showed Marge trying to coax a sick Bart Simpson to read a book called Curious George and the Ebola Virus. That is actual and it's factual. And if you go to the internet and just, you can just type in U.S. Ebola or Ebola virus, and that will come up.
Yeah, you can just type the Simpsons Ebola.
You can just type the Simpsons in. Yeah, just type it in.
Yeah, Simpsons Ebola, and it comes straight up.
It's going to come straight up. One thing this Slytherin snake does, he puts his deceptive intelligence, his devilishness, in writing because he knows we're not going to read.
So
and who will pay attention to the cartoons? But look at every cartoon from Mighty Mouse to The Simpsons, and you can actually connect it to something that has oppressed our people. And that happens time and time again. My assistant directed me to this. So I just had to share that. When you said 97, that shows you how spiritually connected the believers are. And lastly, I'm glad you made the statement about our beloved minister. I've never, never, never heard them not give credit to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who taught him. He says it every time, and he says it ever since I've ever heard his voice.
Me too. Never heard him
yes,
do anything
right.
else. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me share
so
those
much.
Words.
I will add to Dr. Sloan what he pointed out with Bart Simpson, and since we're on books and films, you know, the movie Outbreak that came out in 1995.
Right.
Now, with Dustin Hoffman, Morgan Freeman, another excellent actor, Morgan Freeman. But if you recall, those of you that were around at that time, now that came out the same year, the Million Man March, I think it was in early in the year. However, the outbreak of the virus of the that was the center of the film was called Motaba. But in the film, they describe it as an Ebola-like virus. When someone's conversing and asks, well, what is this? They said, it's like Ebola. And they called it Motaba. But here's what is so mind-blowing. A real-life outbreak of Ebola took place in Zaire a few months after the film came out.
And Dr. Ava,
it
I love this show. And like, I love our show. And like you said, I love our callers. Because somebody just texted me. She said, not only did The Simpsons predict Ebola, but they also had a show showing 9/11 before it took place.
Well, he can't help himself. And the minister has taught us that. He, you know, culture, the outgrowth, what you write, see, think, feel is in the mind. And see, white people are not in 1,000% agreement with each other. You know, and some of them have a limit on how far they're willing to go with this wickedness. You know, and so there's always you take somebody like the director Cameron, James Cameron, who directed some of the Alien films and Titanic, and he directed that movie Avatar. And he said in an interview, this is black people, okay? And he wanted to show you U.S. foreign policy.
Come on,
and the
man.
U.S. military.
Exactly.
You know, always going in somebody else's land, people perfectly happy, living their life, and you want their resources. And when they don't want to let you come in and just take their resources, their natural resources, which they're using in a natural way, and you just want to make money, and so what we're going to do, we're just going to kill these people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, and one of the comments, they and all of the actors that played the Aboriginal people of that so-called fictitious planet were all black. Black actors played the real people of Pandora, and they had dreadlocks. They were tall. They were muscular. They were lean. And we're told that the people of Mars, black people, on Mars are 9 feet tall. That's their average height. We are much shorter than we once were. We have lost height, and we are more dense than we. I mean, I hope we don't think we look like we did before deportation of moon.
Right.
You know, when we were very light because we were light.
Right.
In every meaning of the word, you know.
And Dr. David, it's so deep that you even brought up Avatar, because if you remember the movie, the guy that came in, he was in military background. He had control over the whole military operation, but he was not military. He was going after the wealth in the land. So there are the unseen people that are manipulating the military. And the story are that these are savages, so the military will fight to defend, not trying to get what the resources were, but they're fighting against an unfit and uncivilized creation because they have their military. And even in the movie, he said, what you want me to do, give them a Coke and some candy? That's what they always do, just like with the natives, just like with other countries. We'll offer you this as we're taking what's under your feet right from under you, but we'll give you some little stuff, or we'll even try to be friends with you. We'll sing your songs, we'll do your dances if you want, and we'll get the minerals out. And there's always been this concept that he said, you know, the white lady said, there's something there. There's an energy there connected to the land. And the white male like,
right.
Huh? What are you talking about? Whatever, they're connected. That's nice. Get off my land. Give me whatever I want. So
as we go
back to the movie, Gone Girl, and we see all these other movies of what people, their minds are, it just shows you that movie that we saw this past weekend, it scares me because there's a real life thinking that when the minister talks about this ain't no Satan in the ground, there's a real live synagogue of Satan. These are people with
That's
the
right.
mind of Satan on their forehead.
That's right.
And in their thoughts
right.
and in their actions
yes,
and in their plans. And that's why we have to know we are at war. Someone is literally trying to kill us, not figurative
that's
and mystical.
Right. Well, you have another dead young man in outside of St. Louis. He's quite
right.
dead. That's not theory. That's reality, you know, as we get ready to go to the lines again. I want to say this, too, about The Equalizer and Denzel Washington's role. What stood out for me in that is beyond the killing and all that per se. Remember, he was unarmed. He never carried a weapon.
Right.
Once you think about the fruit of Islam, okay, mm-hmm. he never came into any setting armed. He armed himself with what was there.
Right.
In the environment. And see, you would always see what he would do. They showed you the room from his perspective. Like when he was in a room surrounded by X number of people, it didn't matter who they were or how skilled they were or what kind of weaponry they had. But going back to mathematical theology and the physics of God, going back to us as a people, we are scientists. As Mother Tynetta teaches, we originally were God scientists. God meaning
right.
force and power. And so we don't carry little cheap man-made weapons. Our strongest weapon is our mind. And so if
right.
you remember in the film, he would assess everybody and everything in the room.
That's right.
And he would quickly scan and see who was in there, how they were positioned, and then he would look at objects.
Right.
And you would watch him take certain objects and make them into lethal weapons. And the actual guns, he would just take off the people. And this
right.
is how we're taught. So don't be saying, well, they don't let me take a gun. If somebody has a gun, just take it away from them. That's
right.
all. You don't have to
That's
carry nothing, but if somebody point a gun at you, take the gun.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And use it properly.
That's right.
And use it properly. Fight with those who fight with you.
That's right.
That's a divine law. But we've had another brother, Terrence, out of 919.
Wow.
He's been waiting a long time.
Oh,
well,
not my twin.
Yes,
uh-oh.
It is. Yes, it
but
is.
But is this a double R Terrence or a single
yes.
R Terrence?
Oh, man, it's a double R.
Uh-oh.
It's a double R.
Here we go.
You know what it is.
Here.
Wait a minute. As-salamu alaykum. All right, then, yes, and I just want to give thanks and praise to our great spiritual grandfather, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and God coming and raising him and then giving us a reminder, our beautiful, illustrious apostle and Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and these great helpers I'm in the classroom with right now. I give
praise.
Thanks for all of y'all. And I give
and
thanks
that's for
especially
you.
His sister Ava Muhammad, who was the voice, one of the first voices when I was born in the nation in 1988, when I used to get the cassette tapes when she was opening at the Final Call building. And since we're
wow.
talking about books, I want to throw forward your book, The Force and Power of Being.
Of being.
Lift yourself, huh? To a higher state of energy and expression. That's a beautiful book.
Very
oh,
beautiful.
Man. But listen. Since y'all talking about Hollywood, let's go real quickly in the book section. Get Michael Melvin's book, Hollywood versus America. See, they was going to come after this producer, see, because he was revealing how Hollywood has steered away from the wholesome films and got into this evil plan of now giving these suggestions to the mind that's out there. Oh, man, you got to get this next book, I'm telling you. It's called Whiteout. Oh, this book, Whiteout, starts off with Jerry Webb's story. Jerry Webb from the San Jose Mercury News, where he wrote about the CIA and the crap and freeing Richard Ross. Well, guess what? They're coming out with a film right now, Kill the Messenger. Really? Is that what you're telling us? You'll never do.
Come on, that's right.
Now,
Kill the Messenger.
I'm going to go real quickly, and I'm going to let my brother, who's my minister here, who I love so dear, you understand me? Produces his book in the street every day. And I get people that wasn't even thinking about buying a book. When they get in touch in the near a student of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, let's take a poster with us. They said, man, give me everything on the table. Yeah. He said, we girded at the waist with truth. Let's finish that armor off, huh? And guess what? See, he said, if you girded at the waist with truth, then pull it. He said, what you got is an inflexible truth.
That's right.
Let us move on. That book I'm telling you about, they say, yes, this is the last thing I want to say, beloved. You think you can't get Farrakhan. His idea has strayed too far now. See, I'm going to go back to Brock Peters since we were going to Jamaica. He said, man, we ain't afraid of you. We're afraid of that idea. Well, guess what? You better get real frightened now. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, brother.
Your check is in the mail. Your check is in the mail.
That was great. That was great. Naturally, our time is running low, and this is why, dear listeners and callers, we are looking at, we'll make a formal announcement next week. But we're discussing a two-hour show of Elevated Places. It's another 30 minutes, but it may make all the difference in the world in getting our calls in. And since we're all gathered here anyway, we might as well stick around another half hour together.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that, but we want to be careful with you all's time.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Ava, just wanted to jump in. It was one of your sisters out of Chicago. I just had to give her props, Sister Marianne. One of the things she did also mention, as you were talking about the equalizer, you know, our second general order is to walk our post in a perfect manner. We always keep it on alert. And
yeah.
She said that in that movie, Denzel, we're never to be the aggressor in word or action. Denzel was never the aggressor, but
never.
He was always. But he was what? Always on alert. So it's that general orders that we have been given, you know, to walk
right.
our post in a perfect manner, keep it always on alert, that was given to us, and to be observed, not to be aggressive. And I bring that up because when she mentioned that, I remember Brother Damon today put on Facebook the training of the junior fruit and the junior MGT, and the sisters, they were drilling in the morning at MUI, and they were showing the brothers, the young juniors, learning martial arts and learning how to fight because they're prepared. So just with Denzel, he was not the aggressor. We're taught not to be aggressive. We're not, you know, trying to do anything, but our students and our youth are getting prepared. So just as you were talking about, how do we train and how do we get stuff together. That was very interesting. That she brought those points. So it's a lot in there.
Yeah, we're peaceful. We're peaceful people. We're peaceful people, but we're deadly people. And so we have to understand that, and we have to teach our young people that, because they're frustrated and they know that they cannot continue under the thumb of this enemy, and we're not teaching them how to come out from under it. See, we're not following Minister Farrakhan. We're not acting. We're just sort of groupies following him from place to place. But then we don't act on what he gives us, and we're wrong in that. We are wrong. Whatever we're doing, it's not enough.
That's right.
And none of us are doing anything that even comes close
Come on.
To what
that.
This man does. He goes to other countries like we go to the neighborhood grocery store.
Literally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. He'll fly out of here and go teach somewhere or meet somebody and come right back that same day and stop somewhere on his way home and speak. And so if we did what we do with the same level of commitment that he does what he's doing, this thing would already be as they say in the movies, it's a wrap.
Exactly.
That's right.
But we're coming down to the end. I want to get from you, Brother Alan, where can your book be purchased?
They can go to Amazon, and it is available. Just search Mathematical Theology.
All right. And you also wrote a book on Master Farid Muhammad and the bird language.
Yes, ma'am.
What was the title of that book?
Master Farid Muhammad and the Language of Birds, an Esoteric and Literal Analysis.
Esoteric and Literal Analysis. You remember us being taught that Master Farid Muhammad can speak 16 languages, including bird and fish. And so in Brother Allen's book, he shows you how that is esoterically true, but it's also literally true.
Mm.
He literally speaks bird. And so that capability is part of us being God.
Right.
The animals were not made to eat us and be our enemy. The white man made the animals savages like he made our children savages and us. But we're supposed to be able to subdue the savage beast.
That's right.
You should be able to walk out here and give any animal, bird, or insect instructions. The Holy Quran said, Allah revealed to what? The bee.
Mm-hmm.
To go and make honey.
That's right.
He didn't kill bees. He taught bees how to make honey. He gave them an order. And the bee carried it out. You see, so that book as well is available by Brother Alan X. You can get it right there on Amazon.com. So these people have some value that they have for us. we've got our beloved Brother Lewis. Brother Lewis calling us up out at Baton Rouge.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
We are very short on time, so I'm going to reserve my comments maybe for next week. But maybe you could tell the listening audience on what we can do to help and assist in getting more time on the show. Love the show. Assalamu alaikum.
On this show, you don't have to do a thing. I think it's done. We just had to talk about it with each other.
That's right. That's right.
And I think
we
we're
do
in
have
agreement.
To talk about
structure.
Yeah, but we do have to talk about where we can get your book, Naturally Beautiful.
Well, you can go to avamuhammad.net.
There you go.
Right there waiting.
waiting. And that's for brothers, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because I got mine signed and autographed. Signed,
yes,
sealed, and delivered. Praise the Lord.
Forever and ever. And Dr. Ridgely, where can we get The Sheep, Sheepdog, and Evil Shepherd, The Secret Cipher Behind Jewish Financial Dominance?
It's not out yet.
I shouldn't say where. I should say when. When are we anticipating?
We're looking at November.
November. So, people, be on the lookout, November 2014, and we will make that big announcement when it's available to you. But get your brain ready. Start fasting so you can handle it.
That's right.
And so we are coming
thank
to
you for
the
listening to and participating in
Elevated Places. I want to thank Dr. Ridgely. I want
to
thank Terrence Muhammad.
Right,
I want to thank our
Thursday
special guest, Brother Alan. All of you brilliant
you
callers
you.
And
Elevated
visitors, the Twitter followers,
show today,
Sister Ladonna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, Brother Ashad and his beautiful wife, Sister Valerie, Brother Tim Muhammad, and my awesome husband, Brother Darius Muhammad, who are all part of the WBON Sunday team. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. Hope to be with you next week. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.